One of them wanted to be the security guy. He claimed he was a security guy.
Drivers?
There we go. Welcome to another exciting adventure with Security Guy Radio. Mr. Jarvis, you forgot to tell me to change my copyright notice on my intro. I still got 2016 on it.
Oh, right.
That could mean something historically yeah. someday.
Right?
Got to fix
yeah.
that one.
Yeah.
All right, so we get a special edition here today. Remember we had Cyber Reason on mm-hmm. a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. and I was going to be at RSA this year, but with the bum leg, I can't quite make it. Mm-hmm. But I thought we'd get an update from there for one of our favorite people, Cyber Reason, cyberreason.com. That's CYBERREA. Wait a minute. REASON, right? One R. That's the trick. It's not cyber and then reason. It's one R. And I want to welcome our guest, Mr. Yosef Yolat. Welcome. I said Yosef Yol. Sorry about that.
Happy to be here.
All right. So what's going on at RSA? You guys up there, you got a booth, and what's happening?
Yeah, RSA started today, and we got a nice bunch of crowd coming along, getting to know our product, listening to the things, to our mission, seeing the new directions that we're going, vision, and where we're going to be going in the next year or two.
Now, for people that aren't familiar with the product, tell us what you guys do.
So Cyber Reason Platform is a total endpoint protection platform. What we do is we have agents spread out across the entire environment in order to stop attacks and to detect them automatically. So anything and everything always starts with the ability to detect the attacks, right? You can respond to them, you can prevent them before you detect them. And in order to do that, first you have to collect the information from all the endpoints. So effectively, all the endpoints kind of act as a swarm, right? They act as a hive mind, collecting tons of information of data, machine data about the users, about the processes, the permissions, about files being used, and so on. That data is collected and sent to a central server, the brain behind everything, where everything is correlated, right? And you'd be able to see an attack, an end-to-end attack, an attack that started on this machine and ended on that machine. Most of the time, attackers.
I met you guys at either. Let's see. I think it was Black Hat. Yeah, in Vegas last year. And so your new product, this Total Endpoint Protection Platform, it's a little new in the sense that it's advanced to this swarm mentality. And I love the way you describe it that way. One of my favorite books by Michael Crichton, I forgot the name of it, but it was about these nanobots that acted as a hive and a swarm and would take over things and people's bodies and stuff. And that swarm idea makes a lot of sense because if you're trying to just monitor everybody's phone and everybody's microwave and refrigerator and all these endpoints at one time, individually, there's not enough hours in the day to do it. But if you collect them as one group and look at them as one group, I just think that's fascinating. How fast is this stuff crunch? We hear about real time when we go to Black Hat and people say, well, real time, wink, wink, really means, next week. But that's really real time in our business. But this is really as close to real time as you can get, am I correct?
Oh, definitely. So in a second, we process 8 million transactions in a second. That's incredible speeds. What we do is we collect all that information and put into a graph, in an in-memory graph, where we can correlate all that data to get those automatic detections end-to-end from the beginning of the attack to the end of the attack.
Into a graph. I like this because we're taking something that's complex and making nice big pictures for Security Guy Radio to understand it. Go spot go kind of stuff, and because people that are going to look at these things, respond to them, might not necessarily be the high end technical guy. He might need to get it to the C-level guy for the final decision. He's got to understand it right now. What does it mean? What does the attack mean? What's it visually look like? So you boil this data into a visual. Is that says, if this chart goes this way, we got a big problem. Is that the way to describe it?
So sometimes we're seeing, you know, different teams, different size teams that don't have necessarily either the resources or the knowledge of how to identify the attack. So putting them into a graph and correlating that data, and also something that we emphasize from day one is user experience. We are able to make that, to provide that ease of use and consumable data and actionable data.
Yeah, I like
the fact that the stock teams as well as the C-levels.
I like the fact that, if I remember from Israel coming on the last program, your data is not only collected for the client, but then you're correlating the data from client A and client B, client C, outsource information, public information. You're putting it all together, and that makes it a little unique. So if we're just analyzing data inside Security Guy Radio Company, that's interesting. But how does that relate to something going on across the street or in the radio business in general? And I think that's what makes your product unique in that way. Am I right?
Yes. So not only that, we also, you know, we feed in context from external sources, and on our roadmap going forward, we're also going to be outputting that in the next outputting more data so that it can be fed into other systems in the entire cybersecurity ecosystem.
Oh, so you'll be a data source for analysis for other people. In other words, your data will be analyzed next to somebody else's data. Is that? Oh, did I lose you? Hello.
Yeah, just a bit actually.
So my question was, Cyber Reason will also be at one point eventually a data source for analysis, because if you're collecting data on all this stuff, 8 million endpoints a minute or something, that's a lot of data that if you save it, it might mean something 5 years from now.
Yes, definitely. So so data that's being collected is also being stored, and we have a new product that's coming out that complements what we already have that stores the data back. So that way you can always investigate whatever happened. If today you discover something, an attack that went on a year ago, you'd be able to investigate that data as well.
Now, is that kind of unique to your product?
Yes, that is unique to our product.
Very interesting. Now, you have something else coming out that's new. Bill told me to ask you about it. Ransomware. It's a new ransomware product you're introducing?
Yes, that's right. I think I'm going to be pausing my video just for a second to see if it becomes less jittery.
Sure.
Okay. So we have, first of all, so what I'm going to be describing now is something that we also in our product, in the Cyber Reason platform itself. So the ransom-free product, is a component that we've added to one of our offers, to our offerings, and it is a free product for any home user using Windows. Up until now, we discussed Cyber Reason for enterprises and for businesses, and these are our customers. We have taken a slice of our Cyber Reason platform, and we have created a free product for any home user that is dedicated to stopping ransomware.
Oh, I got to get that right now, because I think, remember Jarvis, my computer got whacked last year. It caused a lot of problems. How do we, for people listening, you know, my neighbors and stuff, how do they find that product, you all?
So you just have to go to ransomfree.cyberreason.com and download the installer. It's a very simple installation. You just click next, the next, just like any installation. And before you know, you're done. And you see a window protected. It's pretty until you're struck with ransomware, but then we'll protect you against it.
Now you're still cutting out a little bit there. I'm sorry about that. I apologize. We'll have to make up some of that data I think we lost. If you can distinguish for my listeners the difference between ransomware as a application and ransomware and how it gets there, an email, right? So does your product catch the ransomware after it's been installed, or is there a preventative component that can identify it in, say, a packet inside an email? Because, you know, no matter what you tell people, no matter what you say, you don't have $1 million in your Bank of America account. That's fake. People still click on it for curiosity and then load the ransomware. So does your product help weed out those emails? Isn't that where most ransomware starts, is in these emails now, phishing?
So I think there's two. I think, yes, most of them are emails or phishing scams or spam campaigns. But there is also what is known as fileless friends. And that's that could be surfing the site and having JavaScript executed and exploiting some kind of vulnerability in one of the browsers or one of its extensions or one of the software that's installed on your computer. And we call that fileless because it uses just scripts. It doesn't use a specific executable that could be maybe could be identified by any viruses. And if we're speaking of any viruses, they actually unfortunately don't catch ransomware. They do catch other types of malware. 30% of malware. That leaves 70% exposed, and ransomware is it's a huge paradigm shift that's required in order to catch it.
And that's kind of the new thing this year. I mean, it was big last year, and they expect it to be even bigger this year. Where the average ransomware is $1,000, and giant organized crime thinks it's too small, and they don't like to get involved in it, but. 1,000 times a million people is a lot of dough flowing from these things. We had a hospital here in Hollywood last year. Remember, Jarvis, right down the street, and that got hit for $1,500. It started out, and then it turned out to be more. So it's a pretty serious problem. So, y'all, we're having a little bit of technical problem hearing you, and I don't want to have anybody miss anything. So maybe what we can do is just kind of wrap it up, and I will definitely get up there to see you guys at the next trade show, and you're welcome to call in. Again, give us your website, how we can get a hold of you guys. I think this is a fabulous product. It's one of my favorite products from Black Hat. And I really recommend people take a look at this. So give us your website and spell it for everybody.
So the site is ransomfree.cyberreason.com. So Cyberreason, again, is a cyber reason with one R, CYBERREASON.
Excellent. Well, thanks for coming on Security Guerrilla. Sorry for the little technical glitch we had, but good luck at RSA. And I'll see you guys at Black Hat. You're going to Black Hat, I suppose.
Yes, definitely.
All right, excellent. We'll have to take a look at that. I'm going to go download that stuff and try it on my computer, and I will report on it next week. All right. Thanks.
Perfect.
Thanks for coming on Security Guy Radio. All right, Mr. Jarvis, we're out. Next week, hopefully we'll have less technical glitches than we did this week. So tune in to Security Guy Radio. And for some more announcements, the new studio's coming up, Jarvis. It's getting ready. So follow us. Go to livestream.com. /Security Guy Radio. That's livestream.com/Security Guy Radio. You'll see my as-is campaign that was in there we started, but that'll be a place where we'll be doing some more shows as well as right here on UPN. So tune in next week at securityguyradio.com and livestream.com/Security Guy Radio. Thanks. Good night.